Today on the making of a Nat Geo podcast, Bear Grylls, star of Running Wild with Bear Grylls. Also joining us is radio and TV personality Bobby Bones, one of the season's most popular guests and now a newly minted survivalist. I'm Stacey Wilson Hunt. Bear, I would like to know, what qualities are you most looking for in a guest on your show? How do you select your guests?
I think a big part of it is that it's somebody that obviously, you know, has a big fan base and is greatly loved, but maybe people don't necessarily know, away from the red carpets, away from their movies or whatever it is they do, away from their sports fields. You know, and I think we all get so used to seeing the superstars we love, but in their zone, you know, and it's often interviews are limited to a chat show where really it's a 3-minute performance, isn't it? You know, of right. telling a few funny stories, or, you know, interviewed after a big match or interviewed on a red carpet or whatever. And we always feel the sort of magic of Running Wild is that you get to know the person away from that, and that you're just on a buddy-buddy adventure and you get to know the real sort of person. So I suppose the answer is we try and find people that, A, obviously really want to do it. And the thing to note is that none of these stars are ever doing Running Wild for the fame or the money. They don't need those things. They do it because they want that experience and that empowering experience and that adventure. And hopefully, you know, as an audience, we really get to know them in a way that fans would never have maybe seen their you know, heroes before.
Right. And Bobby, tell me what worried and excited you about this opportunity. And also, how did it come to you?
Well, what worried me was I just didn't know what I was going to do. Now, strategically, after doing this show, that's the best thing, to not let us know what we're going to do. Because had Bear said, hey, at the end of this, you're going to go down a 400-foot waterfall, that's the only thing I would have been thinking about the whole time.
Right.
So I just kept wondering, well, what's going to happen? But they kind of walk you through it and build you one small success after another. It's almost like they've been doing this successfully for a long time at this point. So, you know, what I was worried about was the natural human thing of what's going to happen to me. But as far as what I was excited about was every part of it, from I had never been to that part of the world. I had never been with the kind of people that I got to meet while doing the show, and not just the actual crew, not just Bear and, you know, the very small crew that we go out with, but also the people in the town. So for me, it was kind of an introduction to a new culture. And that was what was exciting to me, is that it was a lot of new. In my business, I get pretty jaded by getting to do a lot of cool things at this point. So it was kind of, wow, we're going back to elementary with a whole new part of my life. And I had to lean on someone the whole time, which was quite refreshing for me. And that, I mean, Bear, like, I had to depend on him the whole time. And I don't have to do that very often anymore. Mm. So
you had to sort of relinquish control in a way that you're not used to.
Completely. I had to literally lean on Bear many times, not just psychologically or emotionally, but physically. I had to go, hey, I know I'm an adult man, able-bodied, in shape, but I'm going to lean my body on you and have you carry me like a baby. And so it's things like that that were resets right. for me that were great.
Right. And how did the opportunity come to you? Did Bear reach out personally? Did you know each other before this?
I didn't know Bear until he flew down on the helicopter. You know, the question I get most now is, what's Bear like? Mm-hmm. And I think they're all surprised when I go, hey, you know how kind he looks on TV and how comforting he is? Like, times three, because we're together for 2 days and you don't get to see all of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I base a lot of the feelings I have on folks on what happens when the cameras aren't on. And I think the best bonding time between Bear and I was then. And listen, we had some great time on camera, but for me, the real human experience happened off camera. And I think that's made me a great ambassador of this show. Was everything that happened off camera, if you can believe that, since it felt like almost died on camera.
And Bear, tell me what goes into your process of selecting the locations for your adventures. Obviously, there are safety concerns, weather concerns. What appealed to you about this location in Norway for Bobby's adventure?
Well, Norway is hard. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know,
it seems very difficult.
Well, it is. You know, it's coastal, mountainous, you know, high terrain, and it's I mean, of course, it's a training ground where a lot of the British Special Forces have trained over the years. You know, you look at some of those classic World War II, you know, special operation executive stories. I mean, the Norway campaign was always epic, and it's why so many British troops and troops from all around the world still to this day go and train in Norway. I'd filmed a bunch of Man vs. Wild over the years there. I've always had a strong link with the country. The people are great. I mean, it's always difficult picking Running Wild locations, because there's a sort of headline bit, which it needs to be tough, difficult terrain. But the behind the scenes stuff is that you've got to have reliable helicopter operators. You've got to have an infrastructure in a country like that. So we learn from experience when you go to, really remote, difficult countries. Sometimes we've had some close shaves with, pretty bad helicopters and, pilots and stuff like that, where Norway is the other end of that spectrum. They're absolutely on it. They know their stuff, and that just takes a layer of concern off us, that we can focus on what we're doing. But Norway was tough for Bobby. He was in at the deep end in every way. One of the hardest things we always have to deal with as a team, and with a guest who is invariably a rookie, Bobby's mm-hmm. so sort of humble and sweet and sort of admits to it. But the truth is every guest on Running Wild is a rookie. And one of the factors you can't plan for is bad weather. And we just filmed an episode with Channing Tatum beforehand with Bobby. We had great weather, and then Bobby comes along and literally the heavens open. And Norway is renowned for one of the few countries in the world where rain falls uphill, because it's just so windy. And so Bobby had the full experience, but what a great guy. And you learn so much about people when you're in a storm, whether it's a storm of life or a storm of work or relationships or storm of the wild, and we definitely had some bad weather and we were cold, and you throw in fear to the mix and adrenaline. It's very draining for guests, and I'm very respectful of that. But Bobby was smart. He just managed it step by step, minute by minute, and had the humility to sort of, allow us both to lean on each other a little bit and keep going. And it's why we had such a fun journey,
Well, I think there's a great example in the series where we see that in this episode. And actually, I'd like to play a clip where we see Bobby bog hopping, as you say, Bear. So let's listen to that.
Welcome to the Norwegian bog.
It looks like a frozen swamp. Some places humans probably shouldn't be walking, but that's not going to be the case here.
Okay, so we're going to hop across this.
Well, this is going to be fun.
So we've reached an area now, it's getting really boggy. All of these, what we used to call in the military, baby heads, which are these little tufts, you can kind of stand on, and hopefully they're not going to give way. But in between it is definitely sinking mud. So we're just going to take our time and do a bit of bog hopping to try and get across it. Come on, big leap.
All right.
Beautiful, and again.
The bog is tough because I am soaked. I have completely muddy feet. I think we can do it. I'm just scared now of how deep it is.
Bear, what was the nickname of the little patches of grass that you called them?
The baby heads?
Yes, the baby heads, which I love. That's very evocative.
I don't know where the phrase comes from. It was an old army thing from, we spent a lot of time in the mountains in Wales training as well, and there was notorious for these big clumps of boggy ground and grass. And what happens, the grass grows up and gets too heavy, it falls over, and it just creates these, little tussocks of like a little head but with very long hair. And they're a nightmare, especially at night, because you stand on there, they're ankle twisters, ankle breakers, you stand on them, they're often like 2 foot drops either side of it, and then you throw in the boggy wet part as well. So they become, I remember very vividly once on an army training thing where we had a long sort of 2 days, two nights crossing this massive moonscape of baby heads, and at the end we collapsed into these army trucks and we'd all climb into our sleeping bags and we'd have these long journeys back to the barracks. And I just remember once from the depth of a sleeping bag this voice going, if I ever win the lottery, I'm coming back to this place and I'm just going to tarmac the entire area. You think that guy had been in that sleeping bag cursing to himself for a long time, thinking about how he could have his revenge on it. But Bobby had a baptism by fire of what it's like to cross baby heads, and it's difficult, awkward terrain. And sometimes on TV, it's difficult to explain to viewers, you know, the concept of being absolutely freezing cold, totally drenched, and then not being able to move more than, you know, 20 meters without, you know, tripping over. But again, and, you know, Bobby tackled it inch by inch. Eh?
No, he did a great job. And Bobby, tell me just the emotional experience in that moment where you're like, okay, if a camera wasn't on me right now, I probably wouldn't do this. But you have that incentive. You have these people banking on you taking this risk. So what did that feel like?
You know, the funny thing is you kind of forget the camera's there.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Because everything around you, there's so much stimulation happening to where you're in a new area with new people. And I could tell you, too, just speaking of that part, I remember looking at the water, and it's cold. It was raining. It was cold.
What was the temperature, by the way?
Negative 700. So we're in it. And I just remember thinking, for sure, if I slip in the water, I mean, come on, there's probably going to be like a warm blanket and some new boots coming at me. That doesn't happen. Again, the second question I get asked the most is, how real is it? And I'm like, guys, if you saw it, that absolutely happened. So I fell in almost immediately. And you know what we did? We just kept going with wet socks and wet boots. And so you kind of forget the camera's there because you're more focused on if you're going to be able to get to the next level. I started in my mind treating it like a game of Mario Brothers. Like, I have to get to the next level. I didn't know what was at the next level, but I'm trying to get there. So all of the external stuff starts to fall away, and it's almost just I'm listening to Bear, and I'm going step by step with someone. As far as cameras and microphones, you forget that you have one strapped to your chest. I forgot until I watched the show and listened to me breathe quite loud in fear that it was even there.
Wow. Bobby, do you remember when, it's classic, when the crew always leave us in the nighttime, and when they left us, Bobby, and they leave the little camera and they say, look, guys, try and get some, you know, nighttime footage or little diary piece. And basically they have this camera and it is like idiot proof. Actually, they call it bear proof, but it's not really bear proof because, you know, they set it up and you have to put the night vision on and all this sort of stuff. And the number of times, Bobby, they come back in the morning after, you know, halfway through running wild, and they come back and then they go, Bear, you idiot, you've left the lens cap on. It's like, well, you told me all I had to do is press a big red button. I press a big red button. And it's like, but I think our one worked okay, didn't it?
Yeah, ours worked well. I mean, I didn't know what worked until it was shown on screen. So when I saw it on screen, I thought, okay, we didn't mess anything up.
And Bear, you've talked in the past about how one of your best skills or most honed skills is determination, which I love. And I'd love to know the human experience of watching these guests sort of unlock their own potential is really inspiring. How does something like this, how does an adventure like this help the guest really realize what he or she is capable of?
Well, the wild is very revealing, you know, and it's hard to hide. But at the same time, it's the ultimate confidence and character builder. You know, if you can face these things and keep going through it, you know, when you say sort of one of my qualities is determination, it's not like I don't necessarily, it was mainly because growing up, I didn't have any other skills. You know, I wasn't particularly brilliant at school or sporty. I couldn't control those things, the natural talent side of things. There are always other people who are better than this and better at that than me. But the one thing, growing up and through many expeditions and through the military and through many TV shows that I have been able to control is trying to have a good survivor, determined, positive attitude in difficult moments. And, you know, once I could articulate that to myself that, you know, anyone can be positive when it's all sunny and nice, you know, but actually the time to be good, the time to be dependable, the time to give that little bit extra is when it's tough. Once I understood that, that became a whole door opener for me into so many of the things I've done. And I now realize the value of that. Actually, in the game of life and in the wild, it's determination is king. You know, that resilience is everything. If you had one thing, it wouldn't be talent or skills or knowledge or, you know, equipment. It would be resilience because it changes everything. And, you know, look at the great stories, all the great survival stories always have this at the heart of it. And I love that because you're essentially saying to a rookie, whether it's Bobby or whoever, you can come on this, I'll keep you safe, but what I can't give you is resilience. You're going to have to find that. Hmm. And I love the way Bobby says, you know, when his feet got wet, you kind of, you know, that's what you've got. Sometimes these stars we take away, as soon as they start to get wet or cold or hungry, they kind of, initially they look at me like, well, aren't we going to change them or get some food? Or because I think, especially movie stars, they get so used to always being looked after. But it's a very disempowering thing to live with, and it can creep up on you. And before you know it, you can't even wipe your own backside, you know? And I think part of what these guests often love is that they're being treated again like a human being, and like, no, you've got to do it. It's difficult, and it's empowering. And I remember with Marshawn Lynch, Bobby, you know, Beast Mode, the great guy, you know. And I remember he was so like sort of eyes wide when I started like this with him. It was like, Marshawn, we've got to do this. You know, I can't carry you. We've got to carry, help each other with it. And by the end, he said, the only other person in my life who speaks to me like this was my coach when I was a teenager. And he goes, I love it and I miss it. And it's not hard, but it's just standing beside somebody. And the wild brings that out, and it's what I love about it.
It's great. And Bobby, I think a lot of people would love to know, what does sheep's tongue taste like?
You know, I grew up in a small town in Arkansas, very poor. We ate a lot of things like sheep's tongue. Listen, it wasn't, I haven't had it in a long time. And when Bear cut it out, I was a little surprised at the time. But, you know, when you grew up with the means that I had, sometimes you would hit an animal on the side of the road and take it home and eat it. So that actually wasn't the hardest part for me because, you know, when you grow up pretty poor, you learn to eat a lot of things that maybe people think are weird. But the sheep's tongue tastes just like meat. We were so hungry that at the end of the day, I don't think it would have mattered what it was. That we were just so hungry. What I learned was how to build that fire above wet ground. You know, more so than the lasting effect of the sheep tongue was how to stick those pieces of wood and to build a fire above wet surface, which I could probably still do that. I actually learned stuff from the show. You know, I didn't just go and come away and go, wow, that was a fun little vacation. Like I came away going, well, if I was trapped in the forest and had to survive, I would die 5 minutes later because of the skills that I learned with Bear.
Right. That's amazing. To emerge from a so-called reality show with an actual skill is a very rare thing. Although you did become a very good dancer, so I don't want to discount reality series.
Well, I don't think I was a good dancer. I did win Dancing with the Stars, but I don't think I was a good dancer.
Well, some people thought you were. That's all that matters. And Baron, looking at this past season, you had incredible guests. Brie Larson, Dave Bautista, Cara Delevingne. I loved Cara's episode. I think about that one often. Are there other moments that stand out to you as being particularly meaningful to you and where you feel, you know, I feel really good that I was able to give this person this gift?
Well, I always try, you know, I look forward to two moments on these shows. One is knowing that whoever the guest is, we all have stuff we're scared of, whether it's water or heights or animals or whatever, or even camping out or eating a sheep's tongue, you know, everyone. And you never know what people find easy and what people find harder. But I look forward to the moment where guests have to really kind of look the devil in the eye, you know, close up. And there's no way around this obstacle. You've got to, you know, we can't go backwards. We've got to face it. We've got to do it together and move through that. And I love that moment of being alongside them. I think with Bobby going over the edge of that waterfall, you're not human if you don't look down and it's into an abyss of chaos and thumping, you know, water and huge drops. And if you don't feel fear, you're almost not human. And I love that moment. And then for me, the other moment is when we are finally safe at the end. And I never really kind of let my guard down on these shows until we're all out of there. And that includes the crew. And all of us, you know, because the truth is we're in a dynamic, difficult, unforgiving terrain all the time and stuff happens and you've got to have each other's back. And that's why as a crew, we are so tight because I lean on them every day for so much. And, you know, so those are the two moments. But it's interesting, Bobby saying about the sheep's tongue, you know, it's amazing. I love the way for you, that's not a big deal. And I'm always surprised what a big deal it is for some people eating an ant or a snake or whatever. But as Bobby, you and me know, if you burn anything long enough and you heat it up enough, it basically all tastes the same anyway, you know.
Well, and the concept of food is very subjective, right? and Bobby, in closing, I'd love for you to share with us some, you have some fun Nat Geo news to tell us about. What is Breaking Bobby Bones?
Well, and I'd like to credit Bear a lot with this show even existing, because, you know, the planets kind of aligned where I was lucky enough to, you know, be a part of the Running Wild franchise and to go out with Bear. And, you know, I definitely trusted him with my story, and he trusted me to come on the show. And we really, it was a great episode. And so much so, I don't like watching or listening to anything that I do. I'm kind of over me at this point in my life. but I did watch, and I thought it was so fantastic. And I'd been talking with Courtney Monroe, who is the president of Nat Geo Television.
Very smart woman.
Yeah, and just love her. And we had talked about developing a series, and this is before my episode ran on Running Wild on Nat Geo. And we had started developing the series, very preliminary. And the episode ran, and she had come on the show and had challenged my listeners, hey, let's make this the highest rated. I honestly, like, full disclosure, I kind of felt bad for Bear that he got stuck with me, because I don't see myself as famous. I'm like the common man's famous guy, where I'm not famous at all. I think I represent a lot of people, but I don't think people look at me as like, wow, that's our guy that we look up to. I think they walk alongside me more than they look up to me. Hmm. And so as I go on the show, I'm like, man, Bear, I feel sorry for Bear. He didn't get a real celebrity. He just got a guy that people know.
And actually, it's pretty fun speaking to you now, because we haven't really spoken since, you know, since it's aired. And you were so sweet, because you were going, oh, you know, mine's going to be the worst rated one and all this sort of stuff. And I said, no, that it doesn't always work like that.
So we do the show, and it rates well. And I'm very grateful for that. And I think it was then there was actually not only an episode that resonated with people, but there was data. And it was the perfect culmination of the data, the people that had reached out and said they loved it through social media. We'd already been developing the idea. And so it was...
So you had a focus group, essentially.
You know, one that was never meant to be put together. And so, you know, I'd wanted to talk to people and get their stories. I'd wanted to achieve something to show that it could be done, because I'm someone who should be a statistic. I wanted to... And so we had developed this idea, and we have the show that is Breaking Bobby Bones, where we're going to go all over the country and highlight people's stories. There will be... where I walk into their story and try to do some of this stuff myself. And when people ask me, I just say, hey, my, you know, from being with Bear and seeing Anthony Bourdain and Mike Rowe and Jackass, like, that to me is kind of what this show is. But at the end, if you're not so inspired that your face hurts, that my job wasn't done. I didn't do my job right. So that's what Breaking Bobby Bones is going to be about.
That's great. And congratulations. I can't wait to see it. And one last question for Bear, since we have you. What has it meant to you to have this series on Nat Geo, which is obviously the home of adventure and exploration? What does it mean for this show to live within this brand, which is so meaningful to people all around the world and celebrates science and nature and all of these precious commodities?
Well, I love it. You know, for me, Nat Geo, I grew up watching Nat Geo. You know, it was always the home of adventure and some epic stories. And, you know, I'm one of hundreds of millions of kids that have sat there on their knees in front of the TV watching these stuff. And it's where I first developed a love and a thirst and a hunger for the outdoors and for the natural world and for animals and for exploration and pushing myself. And so for me to bring Running Wild to Nat Geo, it just always felt like a little bit like coming home, you know. And also, I think one of the great things about what Running Wild does is that if you just see one man always in the wild, which, you know, I did for so many years just with Man vs. Wild, it's sort of hard to, you know, relate to it. But I think every time with Running Wild, we're bringing a new guest and a new audience and, you know, globally as well, Nat Geo, because it's a global platform. So it's not just like having it on a US terrestrial show anymore. Now we're reaching this global audience. So you can have people who are huge stars in Asia or wherever, or Europe, and it brings these different audiences. But it shows them that regular people can do it. I know they're superstars, but they're rookies when it comes to the wild. And I hope that inspires people, even though they might not have climbed so-and-so or done that or been trained in that, to know that they can get out. They don't have to go to the other ends of the earth. But adventure is such a state of mind. You know, you can go out into your local park or your local, the nearest national park, and you can have some adventures. And really, ultimately, that's what Nat Geo is about. It's an inspiring us and regular people to go for it in their lives and to love the natural world. And if Nat Geo, if Running Wild can play a small part in doing that, that makes me very happy. But just to wrap up with Bobby, you know, I think you put yourself down, Bobby. I think one of your key elements, yes, you're an everyday man, but your key thing, and it's what I've depended on so much as well in life, is that you've got determination. You know, you're determined, you work hard, and you never give up. And your whole story that we heard on that Running Wild journey, from your upbringing and your battles and your fights, is inspiring for people. And I think that's what resonates. And, you know, you don't get to hear those stories with superstars on 3 minutes on a chat show, you know, but you do on Running Wild. And I want to thank you for being so honest and vulnerable with that, and for trusting me to take you and keep you safe on the adventure. And hey, here's to more. We'll do it again one time, with or without the cameras.
Well, thank you both for being here. You're wonderful ambassadors for this brand, and just excellent show. And well done, Bobby. Congratulations to both of you. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you,
all
guys.
All right, guys. Take
love
care.
Love you, Bear.
Thank
see
you.
Guys.
Yeah, anybody.
You can learn more about Running Wild with Bear Grylls and National Geographic's other Emmy contenders at natgeotv.com/FYC. This is Stacey Wilson Hunt, and thank you so much for listening. The Making of, a Nat Geo podcast, is a National Geographic production. Executive produced by Stephanie Montgomery and Chris Alpert. Hosted by Stacey Wilson Hunt. Written and produced by Dave Biesing, Ted Woods, Jason Jackson, Kevin Horton, and Stacey Wilson Hunt. Production coordinator, Juliana Parisi, and in association with Benstown, McVeigh Media, and Sound That Brands.